Howdy, everyone. Welcome to WP Late Night, episode number 6. I'm your co-host, Ryan, with Brad and Dre. Hey, guys.
Howdy ho, neighbors.
No.
And it worked that time. Kind of.
Sure. 5 minutes of silence.
Yeah. Like slight false start. Not too bad.
Yes.
So if you are listening, then you should be either at WPCandy stream at WPCandy.com/stream.
Did we lose audio?
Ryan, you just got real quiet.
I might have dropped. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, it was like this.
This is an epic show already.
Luckily, I never say anything that important. All I was saying is that people should join us in the chat room if they haven't before. And, yeah, also on video Spreecast, which we'll post. I think that's already in the IRC room. Anywho, another great start to a great podcast, right?
I don't think people expect much, so we're giving them exactly what they paid for.
Exactly.
Expectations are low, and the hope is to keep them that way.
Oh, yeah, that's the best. So what? What's new with you guys? What have you been doing?
Ooh. Well, yeah. Watching some of the craziness going on over the last couple of days. Pretty good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, Dre, don't sell yourself short. You just gave an awesome webinar yesterday at iThemes on security.
It was fun. I've been talking with Corey and the guys over there. We put together a presentation and gave about an hour and 20-minute webinar yesterday. Lockdown WordPress. So it was a combination of some of the slides and things that we've put together over the last couple of years, Brad, and things that I've created over that time frame as well. And it was fun. Really, really fun podcast. There were something like 700 folks that showed up to listen in. So very exciting.
You know, I think that presentation that you give, and I know it's never exactly the same. I know you always kind of modify it a little bit, but obviously a lot of the tips don't really change that much. They're common sense tips that people should follow.
Sure.
That should be a requirement at every conference ever for anything. Like a lot of the tips aren't even WordPress specific. They're just common sense.
Well, it's that strategic approach, right? Beginning to end security, getting people to think that way will help them out considerably. The other thing that we threw in there was some of the common malware attacks that we're seeing, right? What they do, how they work, how they're getting in, that type of stuff. So that's pretty fun to see.
I'm sorry, is Ryan eating? Are we interrupting dinner over here?
Hardly.
That's why I love video, because you just got busted eating live on the air.
It was a small piece of food, nothing offensive.
Wow.
Oh, but that reminds me, though, hold on, we've got a sound specifically for this question, and just because.
So, fellas, what are you sipping on?
Oh, I faded it.
And the timing was miserable. Yeah.
There we go.
Look at that.
Practice makes perfect.
What you sipping on over there, Ryan?
I just have a very basic, semi-boring Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke it is. Big Baja.
I got the vodka and diet cranberry. I don't know if you guys are sensing a trend, but I pretty much try to mix everything with no fun calories.
Atta kid, I see you working. I see you working. Always a good thing. I'm taking one after Ryan here and what he's been drinking the last couple weeks. I got a nice Killian's Red.
There you go.
It's a good plan. Right. I like it. I'm glad we're all... Dre, you are particularly in rare form tonight, I think.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes, and it hasn't quite bared itself quite as much as it was in the pre-show. If anybody's listened, just a few minutes before we start, yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, it's going to be a fiery one, folks. I think if it's not ugly yet, it's about to get ugly.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic because we've got good stuff to talk about. We've got drama to talk about, which it's kind of WordPress, I guess.
So much drama in the WP,
and we have a top 10, which is killer. First one we've had in a few episodes.
We're back with the top 10.
Back
absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely.
After roll episode up. One.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the classics, I suppose.
No, it should be a good one. It should be a doozy. It should be a doozy.
Hey, we're at episode 6. We kind of crossed a big milestone. We had 5 in a row. Well, not in a row, but we had 5 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We make number 10, and I will be very, very excited. Oh.
This is our third week in a row. I mean, I feel like we should get a cookie or something for that.
Gigabytes, son.
I'm going to have to clip that.
Actually, real quick, I wanted to, what I've been up to, I wanted to mention the reason we're doing it tonight instead of last night, because we try to do this show on Wednesdays now, This week is Philly Tech Week, which is a week-long event in Philadelphia. It's all about tech. So from morning till night, there's tech events all day long. I want to say there's around 60 to 70 events within 1 week. And last night we did a big 3-hour WordPress, Philly Tech Week WordPress event that I was really excited about. We tried to make it much bigger than last year. We did 3 separate presentations, one on beginning WordPress, you know, publishing, writing, you know, very basic usage. Then we stepped it up a notch and went to child themes, how to work with themes and child themes and create your own. And yes. Then we went one step further and we got into a presentation on plugin development and creating your first plugin. So it was a great event. And if it's just amazing to see an event like Philly Tech Week, which just started last year. So it's only the second year they've done it. It just really pulls all the tech geeks together for 1 week. And you really get a kind of cross. I don't know if pollinate's the right word, but you get to kind of mingle with the different like tech groups. You know, we're very used to like just always hanging out and talking with the WordPress peeps, but it's really fun to like talk with the Drupal crowd and the Magento crowd and the Ruby on Rails group and all these other tech groups and startups that are doing all these cool stuff. It's really fun to hang out with a lot of passionate people around tech. So just wanted to mention that, but it was a really fun event last night.
Ryan, I got to interrupt there for a second, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you twitching? There's folks asking in the IRC room why you're twitching.
How do I twitch? What does that mean?
He has an egg dinner. It's like trying to eat here in between.
I'm tweaking. Yeah. I need more description to know.
Like, I'm not sure, big guy. I'm just saying that you're twitching here.
All right.
Brad, a week long of geekery over there. I mean, how does the attendance look like with something like that? Because, heck, you guys got a lot of really smart folks over there. A pretty wide and thriving tech community. I'd imagine there was a lot of folks involved.
There's some big events. I mean, our event, we had a limited space of 75 seats. And we sold each seat for $10 a pop, and we're donating 100% of that, $750, to a local charity. So I'm really proud of that. We get to give back a little bit, also inform people on WordPress. We also had over 20 people on the wait list. So I honestly believe if we had more space, we could have went over 100 people. But unfortunately, we had some space limitations. But some events are smaller, some were bigger. There was an event by the Philadelphia Eagles about the technology behind the draft. So they actually had their IT guys there and showed off kind of the programs and how they analyze data. You know, this is very relevant because the draft's going on right now for the NFL and how they analyze that data in real time. So when someone gets picked, you know, they have all these programs that immediately kind of update themselves based on who they were looking at and what stats they were looking at. It's wild. I mean, so it's a really cool thing. It's getting bigger every year. So, you know, if you're in a decent sized city and they're not doing something like that, you know, talk to the other groups, organize something. It's a really cool, thing.
Awesome. Good to hear.
Sounds very cool. I mean, I was just checking it out on the site because I, despite you talking about it last week, I haven't looked at it yet. Looks pretty slick. I like. What do I want to dive into first here?
Oh man, do we start with the big old elephant, or do we ease around it a little bit?
Let's check some of the other stuff. Well, I mean, unfortunately, it's always sad when this sort of stuff happens. WooThemes having some trouble this week, which I guess was a hack, an attack on them. They actually just posted an update that I have in my tab, but I haven't looked at yet. But I think they're going on what, like 3, maybe going on 4 days down?
Not quite that long.
Okay.
But yeah, they have experienced a pretty large outage there.
Mm-hmm.
Some DOS attack stuff was discussed there. I'm not going to get into too much details, but from my perspective. But yeah, I think that under the circumstances and the issues that they've dealt with, it's funny from a founder perspective, both of the founders were both traveling like across the world as this is kicking off. So it just to
that's
add,
how it always happens, right?
Yeah.
When you get ready to go on vacation, boom, someone hacks your site.
So they're moving around. They've got their whole team has been really amazing through this. And in fact, really neat to watch the social space and the sheer support that they've received from the community. That's pretty exciting. Things like this happen. I will tell you that they've come together and are doing what they can to get things back up to speed. They've been very transparent around what's happening, very open around the issue, and I don't know. I think they've handled it pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's key because stuff like this happens. It happens to the largest companies. It happens to the smallest companies. I think the most important thing and what we can learn from what they're in the middle of, and it's not done yet. They're still in the middle of it. Their site's still down. But what we can learn from this is communication is key, especially for your customers and your clients. You know, let them know what's going on. Like, they immediately posted a status update. They let all their clients know that their sensitive data, confidential data, credit cards, things like that are safe. They were not – totally different server, was not, you know, was not tampered with. That's what you want to hear as a customer. I want to know that my stuff was safe. And if it wasn't, you know, at least let me know so I know to be on the lookout for maybe fraudulent charges, things like that. And they've been in a pretty constant update. I mean, the second post after the hack was, how can I get support, you know, while your website's down? Where do I go for support? Because their whole support forum's down too. Basically, their whole website's offline right now. And they immediately posted, email us, we'll get back to you. You know, our support staff is still here working with you. I mean, they made it really nice for their clients to know, hey, we're still here for you. We haven't forgot about you. We're going through a crisis, but, you know, you're our clients and we want to take care of you. So I think that's, I mean, it's obvious they're doing what they should be doing, and especially in a very difficult time. So definitely hats off to them, and I hope they get this resolved quickly.
Absolutely. A big salute to them over there. Hope it moves the same direction very quickly to get back up to speed, and kudos for the way they've handled the situation.
I mean, at the very least, it's speaks to needing some alternate form of communicating with your community other than just your primary website.
Indeed.
I mean,
and a lot of companies will set up a, you know, status.company.com and host it on something like Bluehost, completely external to anything else they use. So if their entire infrastructure goes down, at least they have that, you know, and I think that's a really smart move. Have a status site, and hopefully you never have to use it for something like this. But if you do, it's there. And they basically, if you go to WooThemes.com now, it immediately redirects to demo.woothemes.com/DOS, which is a P2 WordPress site that they can push updates to very, very quickly and let people know what's going on. So it's nice to have something up rather than just, you know, a blank page. But it is something to think about. If you're a company, especially if you sell products, you know, you have a service that people depend on, you know, set up a status site, you know, a preemptive measure. Hopefully you never have to use it. But it's nice to have, you know, Bluehost is what, $70 a year, $80 a year, something like that. So if something goes down, people know where to go to find out answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a Bluehost setup, I mean, crap, you could probably get a testing site from one of the WordPress hosts or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't need to be anything sophisticated, just a way to get, you know, information out there.
Yeah.
Info. Yeah. You disconnect completely, you're going to be in a world of hurt. So, you know, following kind of what they've done here, opening up all of the different channels to be able to, you know, talk with anybody. Brilliant move. Again, the transparency was awesome. Very well done.
We'll definitely have to keep a close ear to it, and I'm sure you will, Dre, because I'm curious to see the aftermath, what actually happened, because there's certainly a lot of speculation, but obviously their main concern is to get everything back online.
Yeah.
Before they really, you know, assess what happened and how they can prevent it in the future.
Absolutely. More to come, I'm sure.
So there's also this, and I reacted to it negatively in our little show notes sheet here. But people are talking about it all over Twitter. So what is this site about that has that is misusing WordPress in their domain? What's that all about? That's the first thing I
do. Who wants to actually try to describe what the site is?
Yeah, this is, well, in one word, retarded. I mean, that's my word. You can blame that on Dre because I am the overlord. WordPressOverlord.com. Like, one, you're not supposed to be using WordPress in your title. But
yeah, bad point.
Short of recommending that you go see the web guy, I think it's actually Mr. Webb. Oh my gosh, there's this website, and I wish John Hawkins was here. It's the most brilliant web development company you ever see. Sorry, Web Dev Studios just got taken off the map. I jest, but just go look at the site for yourself, and you know what I'm talking about here. The ridiculous use of WordPress, and misuse, if anything, against everything that WordPress is about. So ugly. I don't even want to get into it. I need a beer.
I think that there's a lot of good little nuggets of content in here. One of my favorite, I think, is the picture in the header. It's like, it looks like something you would see on like Mafia Wars, like 10 years ago. Like somebody slapped together in Photoshop. The guy's like got the what's the hat, the fedora on, trying to look like, you know, he's a badass. I mean, it just looks like it's this horribly site. WordPress overlords join the elite.
and I'm suddenly just terrified of the attention that we'll be directing towards them by even mentioning it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
We're probably sending whatever you do, don't send them money. I mean, honestly, I'm half tempted to buy this to see what, like, how good are these
things? Don't say that. Don't say that.
I really want to buy this. Please don't let me buy this.
Self-control. Oh.
Wow. It's pretty good stuff, but it's, you know, there's a lot of, it was going around Twitter yesterday or the day before, a lot of people in the WordPress community, and everyone's trying to debate whether this is legit or just a complete kind of fake. I mean, it's definitely kind of borderline. I think it might be legit, but the fact that it's so bad makes you think, maybe it's not quite legit. I don't know. Who knows? But it's definitely a good laugh.
That's the sad part. It's totally don't legit. It's funny, totally real. But,
yeah, that probably is. Don't send the money, but check out the site. It's definitely good for a laugh. Everything you're supposed to do in the WordPress world, they do wrong. You know, they lowercase p, they've got WordPress in the domain name. Like, they've basically taken every little rule and, I don't know, assassinated it.
Yeah, completely. Now, Josh, the URL I was looking for earlier is webking.com. This guy's brilliant. You guys, I'm telling you, Web Dev Studio should talk to these guys. They get it.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I thought it would be.
But, I mean, this isn't like a completely unique site, because you see a lot of really crappy, I mean, this is like the as old-fashioned landing page as you can get. You know, this is the bad kind of landing page.
Yeah.
So many people replicate this style.
You know what's sad is people think this makes money. And I've actually had potential clients come and say, send me a site that's not quite this bad, but the same style, everything on one page, a bunch of videos talking about how cool their product is, you know, with all these bonus, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, I want that. I want exactly that. It's like, what in the world makes you, who told you you need a site like that? This is the worst thing. I mean, this is junk mail in your mailbox type of crap, you know, like, why would you want a site like this? But people truly believe that sites like this make money. And maybe they do. I mean, maybe there's a big group of people that buy stuff like this. It's probably the same people that click the Viagra ads in their email and say, hey, it's a good deal. I want to buy
stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, that speaks to spam. And as I ran a couple scans on WordPress Overlord, I'd stay away from there. I'm finding some funny stuff going on. So don't even visit. There could be malware coming from it, and that's not awesome.
We probably should have let off with that. Oh, by the way, you might get infected by
little
visiting.
Disclaimer. Yeah.
Probably the best thing is when you try to leave that site. The little, hey, don't leave. Don't leave empty-handed. You got to buy something. Ugh.
Yeah, I think whoever DOSed WooThemes DOSed the wrong site, man.
Absolutely.
Anybody that has a product called WP Tags with a Z should not be allowed to sell products.
Ever.
Ever, ever.
But really, don't go there.
Don't ever, ever go there. So speaking, actually,
we talked about it.
We have another link in here for like on the positive side of landing pages, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And that's Premise 2, which I guess there's a deal for, a sale going on or something.
I think the sale's over.
Sale's over. So forget about that.
Yeah. but yeah, Genesis, Copyblogger released
Copyblogger.
Premise 2.0. which is basically a digital sales and lead generation engine for WordPress. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's based around Genesis, or am I wrong on that? I could be wrong on that.
My understanding is that it's an entirely separate plugin, but obviously since they own both products, it integrates together, you know, or they work well together. But I don't think it's just for that or even based on that. I think it's a separate plugin.
Yeah, I think the premise, the first version was nice. I'm not entirely sure when the first version came out. I'm sure it's been over a year by now.
It's been a while.
Well, what's interesting about this version is they actually have a built-in membership feature built into the theme itself. So you can actually set up membership levels, pay for access, things like that, which is kind of an interesting twist because they're, you know, it's primarily a theme company. And they've hooked an integration for a membership feature, which there's a lot of premium plugins out there for membership that I'm sure many of you have heard of. One that I like to go by is Paid Memberships Pro, which is by a guy near Philly, one of my buddies, but disclaimer. But anyway, it's interesting that they're now packaging things that people are selling as standalone plugins within the theme itself. So not only do you buy the theme, but you get the actual membership piece to it. So it's not like you buy a theme and then you buy another plugin for it. It's all packaged in. So I'm curious if we're going to see a little bit more of this from theme companies, where they're kind of taking some of these, what I would consider kind of premium plugin features, and rolling them directly into a theme. What do you guys think?
Makes sense to me to start adding and integrating those type of pieces, right? I mean, does that kind of push you into more like the niche type of situations that we were talking about before, where you look at plugins that have different, multiple plugins maybe bundled into one dashboard type thing? Does it make sense to start integrating these themes with these type of capabilities? I say, yeah, absolutely. It's a good move.
I think it's a great idea for any theme shop out there to realize, which, I mean, the situation around StudioPress and CopyBlogger is a little bit different, but any shop at all that can realize that they don't have to only sell themes, that it makes sense to sell related products. You know, I mean, CopyBlogger and StudioPress have a really well-rounded and complementary product lineup. You know, makes it really easy to kind of cross-sell. But so they're definitely, I think, one to watch. One of those companies that everybody should be paying attention to. But I actually haven't, I've played around with it a little bit, but I haven't really used Premise a lot yet, even though it's been out a while. So maybe I'll take a look again.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's from CopyBlogger, which essentially is a parent company of StudioPress. We all love Genesis, which is one of the products StudioPress sells. So I'm sure it's very quality work. I'm sure it's a quality product. Definitely something to look into. But it looks like, you know, based on the screenshots and the write-ups and what people are saying, it looks like a pretty decent product. And I've everything they've released has been a pretty decent product, so I have no reason to think otherwise.
Indeed. So
actually, it looks like we need to correct ourselves a little bit. So it's not actually a theme. It is a plugin. So forget the last 5 minutes of what we said.
Oh, I said it was a plugin. I think you're correcting you.
I'm correcting what you said. I guess I was under the impression that the original Premise was a theme, but maybe I know it's creates landing pages, but I just assumed mm-hmm. it was a theme that creates landing pages. So
okay.
I guess I've had that notion since 1.0 that it was a theme. So maybe I'm confused. My fault. It is a plugin, so you can basically attach this to whatever theme you're running. I'm sure it works very well with Genesis, obviously, but it's not an actual theme you install. So. Interesting topic, though. I would like to talk more about themes with kind of premium plugin features built in, but this is a plugin.
Well, that begs the question. You know, when do themes become too feature rich or too heavy? Maybe to the extent where it starts affecting, you know, your resources and what you're living on, right? Your hosting environment, your servers. Wow, if that wasn't a segue that we just killed again, what is the hidden dangers of beautiful themes?
And actually, right before we talk about that, we hit it just past the 20-minute mark, I want to thank one of the sponsors of the show. It's got a great tease on the back of it, so perfect. I want to thank monsterthemes.com, speaking of themes. And they have three WordPress themes, all responsive, which I can certainly appreciate because after kind of pushing some design updates to WP Candy, the first thing you hear back is, yeah, but your site still sucks on mobile, which I know. So I can absolutely respect the time and energy that it takes to make themes properly mobile. But I also really like their edition theme. It's probably my favorite of their three. It kind of has a kind of a red, almost CNN look to it, but it's not that overbearing magazine design. So that's the one of theirs that I would probably check out first. But they have a yearly membership deal. That's how it works. And it is currently only $22 a year, which is like, I don't know if this is an adverb or an adjective we can use to describe things, but I would almost call that dev press crazy.
Yeah. You know,
it's a crazy price for themes. It's really a no-brainer if they have anything that you're looking for. So thanks to monsterthemes.com for sponsoring WP Late Night.
Can we introduce them in the future as Monster Themes?
Roar!
So then I need a new soundboard thing. Because all I could do is Monster Themes Oh. Oh, I didn't. It's being slow.
Boom.
Like my only soundboard effect, I would be able to say monster themes and then. Yeah.
What you sipping on, man?
Sipping on monster themes and a terrible, terrible little call to it. Anywho, talking about themes and the danger of them. Go ahead, Dre.
Well, no, I think we start talking about all these features and capabilities and maybe some integration points with some of the functionalities we've seen in some of these plugins today, somehow bundling that with themes and so on. Where does it become – what is that breakpoint, right, where it becomes so overbearing or so feature-rich that you start affecting its capabilities to your end users, right, the experience, because maybe your pages are loading too slow or it's just not reacting how you need it to, or you take down your server altogether. What is that point? Where do we separate that?
That's an excellent question.
Where do we separate that?
So we get into this a little bit, like constantly pretty much on the weekly theme show, which is kind of user focused, but it also gets into this kind of theme theory area, you know, where do you draw that line where, is basically what is the ideal theme? You know, what's everybody aiming for? And I don't think there's a really good answer to that, which is why it makes it so interesting to talk about. I put the link into, and I actually don't even know his name. I need to scroll down because it'll say, oh, it won't. Let me see for one of his comments. Rob, maybe? His blog post. Anyway, I linked it up in the post where he talked about the hidden dangers of beautiful themes and his site getting just hammered by Reddit. Actually, not even hammered, just attention, right? I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's he hit the top of our programming. He doesn't actually say how many hits he got. He does show a graph of bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. He described it as not crazy, just healthy.
Not crazy, but a good amount of traffic.
Right.
Which, I mean, if you're at the top of our programming on Reddit, you're probably getting some decent traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Shouldn't take your site down, but well, it should be decent.
And what's
definitely shouldn't take your site down.
I mean, and I guess maybe I need to dig into the news theme again, but, I mean, what's interesting is that I don't think it's really a theme that's packed full of features, you know? It's just the way that it's kind of designed and built, it was kind of fell victim and brought his site down, whereas 2011 saved it.
Well, it's a combination of how it's coded. I mean, how are things being queried and so on,
mm-hmm.
right? And you start adding 10 million options. Well, yeah, over time, that's a pretty big overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really make sense to be there?
Do you think it's a matter of these themes just not being used on enough really highly trafficked sites that it doesn't happen that often, or do the people that run those sites right. just know enough to how to optimize them before they get into?
Well, think about that question. I mean, what the demographic of WordPress? We talked about, I think last week or episode 4, maybe. You know, the high traffic site. Sure, there's a bunch of them, but it isn't the majority by any means. So you get all these, you know, and a lot of those instances that have resources around taking care and managing their sites. They've got custom themes and stuff. You start looking at some of these. Premium or even, you know, in the repository that may have a lot of these features and options, it's going to go to the general, you know, demographic, that the lower traffic folks. So when they do get nailed, that's when you see it, but you're not going to see it in high amounts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Perez Box made a good point.
Tony asked,
well, maybe the question is, what time do you start breaking out these features, these options into plugins? This has been asked 100 times, but is there really a definitive answer to that? You still see a lot of design shops and theme shops putting these things into themes because that's the demand, right? People are looking for – they're not always looking for that simple piece, right? Okay, let's get it up, and then from there I can start building into what makes sense for me and my users. They add everything under the sun into the theme.
Right.
You get into the same problem.
Well, even in the blog post, he mentions that every – page that was loaded was generating 46 requests for theme assets. 36 of those were images for every single page. So 36 images per page. I mean, obviously it has to be a somewhat detailed theme to have that many images. I mean, 36 images just for like the theme's layout design. I mean, that's quite a few.
Or it's just poorly put together, right? They're not using
I think a lot of people just like, you know, they put together a theme that looks great and they say, all right, this looks great. I'll sell it. They don't really care whether it loads well. They really don't care. They just want it to look good because that's what people look at. Mm-hmm. When you buy a theme, you don't say, well, how quickly does this load? You just say, hey, that looks really nice. I want to buy that. And you buy
the general population purchasing it aren't going to be looking at that. They don't care if their images are sprited. They don't care if CSS is being utilized correctly and minimizing the use of images where it doesn't need to be, right? Exactly to your point, Brett. Wow, that sure looks pretty. I want that on my server.
Well, yeah, I mean, even with a lot, I mean, just combining files. I mean, you don't know how many themes, you know, have like the organizational methods that a developer used when making a theme, you know, keeping things separated and everything, they don't actually really change that all the time. You know, with a lot of themes out there, you'll have multiple CSS files, which is crazy, multiple JavaScript files, which is just as insane. And all that stuff really adds up. You know, particularly on the average person using this on a shared host, I mean, that just compounds the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he makes a good point. You know, most themes out there have a demo site. You can demo it. Go to the demo site and run something like YSlow or PageSpeed or whatever other tool you have that kind of tracks what's being loaded. How big are these images? Is the background image, you know, 800K? You shouldn't have a background image that's 800K. You know, like,
don't
check these things out before you even buy it. And the problem is most people aren't really that are buying themes like this probably aren't that technically savvy. They don't even know to check this. And if they did, they wouldn't even know how to fix it, you know, which is a problem because most people buying themes like this and just use them out of the box. They're not coders. They're not designers. They're just users. So they want something that looks good and they just assume it looks good. Even if you cache this, it's not going to change the fact it has to download 36 images. You know, that's not caching the images.
Right.
Nope. Your best bet on this would be like a CDN or something. But even that, I mean, in this case, it sounds like the theme needs to be fixed. It needs to be optimized.
Agreed. Another tool that I use for that is Pingdom. I don't know if you guys use
I use that all the Pingdom. Time.
Yep, that's a good one.
Awesome.
And it's a lot of people are really kind of tuning into this now because it's such a, I shouldn't say it's a big, but it's definitely an important factor for SEO.
Oh, no question.
It's the page speed.
Sure.
You know, so if your site takes 10 seconds to load and your competitor's site takes 2 seconds, there's a good possibility Google's going to put that site above yours because yours is just too slow. So
you're most guaranteed you're going to get dinged. No question.
And a lot of plugins do this too. I mean, I've seen really big plugins. I think the majority of the e-commerce plugins, if not all of them, load JavaScript on every single page outside of the store. The JavaScript's there and the header loading, and you're not even in the store. You don't need the JavaScript. Mm-hmm. A lot of plugins do that. One of the real popular featured content rotators, that might have been the name of it. It was really popular a couple of years ago. It was on every StudioPress theme. I always complained to Brian Gardner about it, like, man, you're the reason this plugin is so popular. It was horribly coded. Like, the JavaScript load on every single page, the rotator was only on the homepage. Like, it was bad from an optimization standpoint. So plugins are just as guilty as themes.
On cue for home. On cue your scripts. Gah.
So is this the part of the show where we have to do the speed measuring contest here? Like whose site is faster? Is that the part of the show?
We don't want to do that now.
We don't.
It's on Bluehost, and I'm running the base Genesis theme. So
all right, well,
it probably
maybe,
sucks.
Maybe some other
theme
time
shouldn't be the reason.
Hey, how about we start out with WP Candy this week, and then we'll move into ours next week.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I could test mine, but I know that would be kind of, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Let me make sure I get Pingdom in the show notes as well. I feel like I keep putting that in like every other week's show notes because somebody mentions it. It's so good.
Speaking of sites that are crashing and can't stay online, it's a pretty hot topic out there today, and the site keeps crashing and can't stay online. I don't know if we want to get into that yet, but that was a good segue.
Segue!
Didn't want to miss the opportunity. That was a great segue.
And?
I'm sorry, what were we talking about?
Do it.
Yeah. Go for it.
So there was an interesting post today by someone that, if you're in the WordPress community, I'm sure you know him. His name is Shane Sanderson. He's been around the block a few times. He currently is one of the, I believe he's head of support for Pagely. He hosted WordPress post probably that doesn't make sense, but they're a WordPress host specifically for WordPress. One of the first ones on the market, I think the first one on the market that I know of that is what was only for WordPress. He's our head of support, and he wrote a blog post called Enough is Enough. And essentially in this blog post, what he kind of lays out is how he has felt that WP Engine, which is another WordPress-specific blog host that started, I want to say, a couple years ago, but certainly after Pagely, has kind of been taking some subtle and sometimes not so subtle jabs at Pagely and how they think they're better and they think their platform's better and, you know, putting specific promo codes out there to try to pull customers away from Pagely specifically. And he basically, you know, starts out with a disclaimer saying, I'm dropping names. I'm dropping names like it's cool. So, hold on. And then you read the blog post and he's definitely not, I don't think anything he says is malicious. I think he lays out a very, thoughtful post with his, obviously the, what he, you know, his true feelings behind the matter. And it definitely sparked a fire on Twitter earlier today, or a lot of drama, fire, whatever you want to call it, between kind of the Pagely supporters and the WP Engine supporters and the people who just didn't care, but like WordPress drama, were kind of all in the mix. So it's definitely a hot button topic. We tried to get both the sides on. We didn't want to have one or the other on unless we could do both sides because we didn't think it would be fair. It didn't work out. So we don't have anyone to represent the side. So we're going to kind of discuss it ourselves. So what do you guys think about the topic?
Well, it's a challenge for me. I mean, we stay pretty independent of any host, although we, you know, from a security's perspective, but we work with a lot of them. It's frustrating for me, as a service, you know, organization owner that works with them day in, day out. And to see in such a young space where you're talking about managed WordPress hosting specifically, to see such brilliant folks and cool products taking these type of tactics in the sense of going back and forth with each other, it's very apparent publicly. Okay. I know both sides very well and everybody involved is pretty damn cool. To see this type of drama is what's really more frustrating to me than anything. You know, the little jabs and those type of things, it's just not good for business. Ultimately, I think it's going to hurt them more than help them. It comes to a point where you got to realize that there's plenty of space in the WordPress world for all of them to be successful. Get over it. It's really what it comes down to. Just get over it and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We're a web development company, so we work with a lot of hosts. We certainly have hosts we recommend, but over half the time, the people coming to us either already have a host or already have a host in mind. So, you know, we give them the opportunity. If they want our recommendation, we'll certainly point them where we think they should go, but if they already have somebody, we'll work with that. We have clients on WP Engine. We have clients on Pagely. We have clients on ZippyKid. We have clients on just about every WordPress-specific host there is. I know all these guys personally. I've hung out with them at WordCamps. You know, I've been to, private parties with them. We've chatted. We send emails. They ask for feedback because, you know, we're a development company. We're directly in touch with the clients that we're sending to them. So I'm in an interesting position because I am kind of in the middle. Like I can't make an allegiance to one host. I can't do that. However, I think both sides are great. I mean, and you know, when this came up today, what was funny is I was thinking about the episode we did. I want to say it was episode 3 with Jake Golden of 10 Up. Similar situation, I shouldn't say similar situation, similar, deal as far as that he's a development company that all they do is WordPress. I'm a development company. All we do is WordPress. We're good friends. We pass clients back and forth. We talk about clients. You know, we share experiences. I would never say a bad thing about him. Mm-hmm. I only talk good about. I've had people come to me and say, you know, why are you better than 10UP? You know, I'm not going to tell you why we're better than 10UP. I'm going to tell you why we're good and awesome. But I'm not going to tell you why they're not good. They're good. I mean, I know the guy. He's awesome. Like his whole company is awesome. So I feel like the hosts aren't quite in that mindset. Some of them are, but a lot of them aren't. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's like a hosting thing. But I feel like almost everybody else in the WordPress community, there's obviously some theme shops that probably don't get along, but for the most part, a lot of the big theme shops do, you know. You look at iThemes, you look at Genesis or StudioPress, you look at Headway. Those guys are all really good friends. They all talk behind the themes. They all talk behind the scenes. There's even more out there. There's tons of theme shops. They all talk, they share experiences, they help each other out. But it seems like for some reason, the hosting world, it's just cutthroat. It's do or die. It's like, if you're not with us, you're against us. And I don't know why that is. I think it's because it goes back so far. Like, hosts have been around since the start of the internet, right? And it's always been kind of, we're the best and here's why. And I think that's kind of carried over to these hosts when they should really be, you know, thinking of the WordPress mentality of, you know, there's how many millions of users did we talk about last week? 70 plus million users on WordPress.
70 plus.
Oh,
yep.
Sure. Yeah.
35 or 40 million self-hosted. I mean, there's enough meat for all of us to have a nice, nice dinner. If you know
well,
what I mean.
Yeah, well, think about that. You know, and not to knock where they're at. They're all growing well and doing pretty awesome things. But what percentage do they own of that?
Sure.
So better concentrate on taking more of that market share from the more traditional hosts than to beat the hell out of each other. Makes no sense. Mm-hmm. To your point, exactly, Brad. It definitely isn't in line with what we're all accustomed to in the WordPress ecosystem. And it's really ugly. And it's unfortunate because same thing. I got to kind of keep my distance from it all. But I look at it and I know the people involved and it's really frustrating to me.
I mean, like you guys said, I think part of the reason that some of the, you know, the quote unquote WordPress drama will come up every now and then is just because of how kind of odd this community is. I mean, the fact that.
You're calling us odd?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Because of the fact that, just like you said, the standard that's set is, I guess, for mutual respect between business. But even beyond that, like almost collaboration and sort of you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know, everybody's kind of professional friends. And that's not necessarily true in every industry. So I think part of the reason that some of this stuff comes to light is because it's that much more obvious if that standard isn't met somewhere. I don't know. It's weird because it definitely pops up every now and then. But
it is weird. And these, I mean, we know all these guys. You know the guys in all these companies, and they're all really great people. Like, it's just, I just don't think there's room for that. Like, you know, let the product that you have or the service you have speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I saw someone today mention Gravity Forms and say you don't see Carl and his team bashing other contact forms. You don't, because right. Their product speaks for themselves. Almost every WordCamp you go to, not almost, every single WordCamp you go to, at least one person, if not 50, say Gravity Forms is the only way to go. It's so justifiable in the cost. It's stupid. Like, I would probably pay 50 times as much, but you know, I don't really want to, Carl. But
way to go, dumbass.
For yourself, the product they have spoke for themselves. I've said it before on podcasts. When it first came out, I thought it was the dumbest idea in the world. Why are you making a contact form? There's 1,000 out there that work good. And the first 5 minutes of using it, I bought the dev license and have not looked back. And as soon as we get a client that does not have it, I'm like, Gravity Forms. We have to put Gravity Forms on here. We can't use anything else. It's just too good. So it's like, let the product speak for yourself. Your clients, your customers will promote you, promote how good your service is, have specials, do whatever you can, but don't directly target other people like that. You know, let your service speak for itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're good, you'll do just fine.
Right. Yeah. It has to do with the level of class in your marketing. You know, I mean, yeah. I think you summed it up well.
Yes.
Yes.
Gravity Forms.
It sounds like the chat room kind of is in line with what we're thinking as I read here.
Yeah, I think
Tony.
So.
Oh, something about Tony. Maybe we should just kick him.
Just get him out of there. I'd be okay with that. So let's see. So we're weird. Gravity Forms, 10 up. Go back to our show notes here.
What are you going through?
WP Scientist, you're kind of awesome. You don't seem like a happy person, though. And I wish you were happy.
So for those listening after the fact, Dre has now taken to talking directly to person in the chat room.
Yeah, sorry.
Saying, no. Don't talk to the chat room because there's like a 2-minute delay.
Well,
it's like,
it depends where they're listening. But yeah, there's probably a delay.
Depends what side you listen on.
No, I like that. I like that that way. There, you know, really, it should just be, we should encourage it. Half the podcast should just be one way conversations with the chat room.
I
think people
guy.
Listening will love that.
Yeah, they're going, what the hell just happened? Good times.
Good stuff. Do you want to talk some money?
Let's talk money.
I like
talking money.
Money. You guys sure like you money?
Do. Yeah, you're just talking about all your private parties and your awesome meals at night.
Everybody I feel like knows. Private parties come out weird, but you know what I mean.
Sure. Yeah.
Not that type of party.
Mm-hmm.
A sexy party. No. That will
a
not
tickle party. It's like all that. About tickle parties, man.
Tickle parties. No. There was actually a great article or a lot of articles around this, but the one I think, or at least the first one I saw was the All Things D article about automatic growing up. And they actually shared some revenue numbers, which I don't think they have before. At least I've never seen.
Yeah, they were just and kind I of just,
Zach's
small references here and there. It was never.
We're getting old, man. Everyone's growing up. We're getting established. We have to act like grownups. It sucks.
Boo.
But anyways, so Automatic shared some numbers, and they essentially came out and said they're on target, or they expect to bring in $45 million in revenue this year.
It's an interesting number.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first question, and Perez Box already pointed out in the chat, is that higher or lower than what you would have expected? I don't know that I had a number in mind necessarily, but it, you know, since this is the first one we really had.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's seeing an actual number. I feel like it's higher than I expected, but I guess I never gave it a ton of thought. I was
so
always
what you're
a little
saying is we should have asked this question last week on the show last week, and then we would be able to
think automatic makes.
Yeah.
Who knows? This is.
Yeah. I would say that puts them in a pretty healthy category. I don't know. I don't know what their trends look like or what, you know, what they're forecasting and so on. So
I think $45 million in revenue is a very healthy category. I mean, absolutely. I would like to
well, that well, think about what they're looking at there. What's their real overhead? Their employees, right? So they've got a little over 100 employees. They've got their server infrastructure, you know, your regular lawyer fees, accountants, all that fun stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But even if you average out what their employees make, let's say at $150K, okay, mm-hmm. maybe a high, that might be a high average. I don't know. They got a lot of smart people that work there. And there's a good reason their retention rate is as high as it is on their employee base. That puts you around 15, 16 million, let's say a year, in employee costs with benefits and what have you. That leaves you still around $30 million to manage the rest of your overhead. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their profit looks like, but hey, it definitely puts them in a comfortable spot when all said and done, I would imagine.
I mean, if you look at the money generators, there's two obvious ones, and they mention them. WordPress.com, yep. And the add-ons and upsells that they have, like mapping a domain, additional space, videos, things like that, redirects. And then there's the VIP side, and the VIP sure. side is big money. Obviously, you know, the stats we were looking at last week, there was what? 70-plus million on WordPress. About half of those were on .com, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
sure.
30 to 40 million on .com. Mm-hmm. Even if like, you know, a small percentage of those people pay something for something, you know, that's some serious cash. VIP is obviously a lot more expensive, but there's obviously a lot, much, much, much smaller user base. VIP is not just anybody can sign up for VIP hosting. You have to be accepted.
Right.
I couldn't host my blog on there on VIP. I mean, it's a minimum $500 a month just to host and you have to be accepted. Mm-hmm. So those are obviously the two big money makers. And I'm sure there's other money makers out there, but those are two obvious ones. You know, it's good money. I mean, you know, $45 million in revenue. It's pretty awesome. I'm happy for them. Automatic does a lot. They give a lot back to the community. About half the core committers are Automatic employees. So essentially Automatic's paying them to work on an open source project. Now, obviously working on that can benefits them because they have so many people using it. But it still gives back to everybody else, the other $35 million, you know, on .org. So it's not like they're doing it just for themselves, you know. So I commend them. I mean, there's a lot of I've met a lot of Automatic employees over the years at WordCamps and various events. They're all pretty awesome. I don't think I've met one I don't like. I mean, they're just really, really good people, really, really intelligent people. I mean, they really do hire the best of the best. They hire the best people out there. You know, they hire people that are not only good at what they do, but they're nice people. You know, there's a lot of people in the tech community And I'm sure you guys have met people like this in the tech field, and they're very arrogant. They're very, you know, I know everything, you know nothing. There's a lot of people like that in the tech industry. And honestly, you don't see a lot of that in the WordPress community.
Agreed. Culturally sound. I mean, again, to have their retention rate that high, how many 100 something employees, they've only had 118 or something total.
Yeah, I think they said it looked like
that's one of the most amazing stats of the whole article.
Dude, that's bananas, bro.
Only 12 people.
They've hired 118 people and only 12 people have left.
Yeah, I mean, I've met a countless amount of automaticians over the years, and they're all, I see them again year in, year out at different camps, right? That's pretty cool, man.
Absolutely.
I can dig it.
And that speaks to the type of company they are. If your employees want to stay and want to prosper and want to help you grow and want to give back in the ways that the automatic employees do, why would they leave? You know,
you're not
going to find a company quite like Automatic out there. I mean, they're all remote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they had an office in San Francisco. I don't know if they've at the pier, which got shut down by the city because of unsafe hazards with the pier itself.
All
it wasn't anything
stuff,
they did, but I don't know if they have another office there, but that was really, I mean, that was a little bit overhead as far as office space, but almost, I think the majority of their employees work at home.
Yeah, everybody, teleworks. They don't have a main office now. I'll tell you what, that's another overhead that they're not incurring right now. So
absolutely.
They're looking at opening up a new office at some point. That's great, but you know, it's working fine just without it. Another key point that I took from this, and sorry to interrupt there, is to the core, a really important piece of any organization as you kick in. Really get good at what you do best, right? Continue to improve that, iterate, get better. And they really have focused on that over the years. I think it highlights it in the post here a bit where, you know, you have all these new trends and new cool things that come out. And, you know, the social space was a huge one. Everybody's like, hey, why are you not integrating this yet? Why are you not moving forward with it? Attaboy. They've really concentrated on continual improvement of the product, of the main product and offerings, and it's gotten better. Now they're starting to integrate those things, but they've stayed really focused. And I think that's an integral part of the success of any new company or any technology company, for that matter, to really sustain in this tech world for a long time. Great products.
You know what? Anytime I'm at an event and there's Automatic guys there, guys, girls, you know, just Automatic employees, I always like to sit down and chat with them and pick their ear a bit about working remote and the tools and the things they do, because they're a company of 106 and they're all remote, and we're a company of 12 and we're all remote, and it's tough at 12.
It is.
Like, I can't even imagine 100. Like, so I'm
it's
always
a challenge.
What tools are you using? What, you know, how do you track? Are you having chats? Are you Skype, IRC? And it's like, I'm just always picking their brain about what tools are they using, anything they know that I don't know, like that we could use to make us more efficient. Cause a remote company is a huge challenge. You gotta hire people that you trust, because you're not standing over their shoulder 24/7 or even when they're on the office. You know, you have to trust that they get their work done from day to day. So I've always loved sitting down with people who work Automatic and just talking to them and see how they work and see if there's something I can learn from that.
Couldn't agree more. Chris Lima, he was actually a speaker at WordCamp San Diego, has an ebook on it. And I forget the name of the dang ebook, but it really talks to building and managing virtual teams. That's it. It's on Amazon.
I'll pick that up.
I'll post this site here. It does a really good job of capturing some of the core things that you need to look at as far as oversight, to the extent where you want to make sure you're not micromanaging, but you're putting process in place to be able to manage these remote teams. He does a really good job of capturing that.
It's a challenge. And actually, you know, we're getting off topic here, but that I would love to see a presentation about that at a WordCamp. How do you manage a remote company? Because more and more companies out there, even in the WordPress world, I'm seeing a lot of freelancers that are kind of getting big enough where they're starting to hire people. And they don't want the overhead of an office. And generally speaking, you want to hire the best of the best. And they may not be local to you. They may be in another state, another city, whatever. So that'd be a really cool presentation, even if it's outside of a WordCamp, just, you know, working remote. How do you do it? How do you make it efficient?
Sure.
How do you get as much done remotely as you would in person?
Well, I mean, at this table here, you own a company and you've got all remote, you know, employees. Same thing here. Our company is fully remote. it works, but how do you build on that?
Well, you have additional challenges. It is a challenge. You have employees in other countries, which is a totally another thing. We're all, you know, U.S. based, but you have some employees in other countries. That's a whole other, you know, ball.
Yeah, you figure our Daniel Sid, who's our third partner, Tony, myself, and Daniel, who run the company. Daniel's in Canada. He's a Brazilian citizen. We've got employees down in Brazil as well. So it not even just from a management standpoint, but when you start to get into, you know, tax implications and payroll, there's just a lot of other things to consider there. So, yeah, depending on the situation, kind of like Automattic, they've got folks all over the world, right? There's a lot of little things that you've got to make sure that you're taking care of that become major challenges over time. Oh, yeah.
So Automattic makes a lot of money.
They do. And I wanted to point out earlier, and the chat room was kind of talking about it. I think it's, even if it's not a crazy out of this world amount of money for a tech company to announce, I think it's worth pointing out that theirs is, I mean, there are a lot of much more questionable tech companies making crazy money that I would not, you know,
Instagram.
That's sort of the first one that comes to mind.
There's $1 billion for a filter on pictures. Thank you.
I'm glad I'm not the only one cynical about that. But I mean, I think it's worth saying again or reiterating that it is, I guess, very sustainable, smart money that they're making.
I honestly think they're still in a ramp up stage. You know, I mean, they're hiring 20 to 30 people a year at this point. So I think they're still in a very much a ramp up kind of investing back into themselves type of stage, not where they're just riding the gravy chain to Gold Island. You know, they're I didn't know where I was going with that when I started saying it. So
we just found the title to
today's
podcast.
Wow. That
title is not going to come off right unless they listen to the full show. They're going to be like, what? You know, no, seriously though, they're reinvesting a lot in themselves in the products they're building. So I don't think they're necessarily just pocketing everything. I think they're hiring more and more. I mean, I think it was last year they were at like 80. You know, so they're hiring a lot. They're building more products. They're expanding into multiple branches. Vault Press isn't that old. Jetpack's pretty much brand new. You know, there's a lot of things they're coming out with. So, you know, give it another couple of years, and I bet that number's going to get real big real quick.
Well, I think, I mean, it just kind of says it in the new CFO, Stuart West, was quoted in that All Things Digital post and said, when you see this much usage, talking about how much sort of the WordPress community they can touch, when you see this much usage, you know there's an extraordinary revenue opportunity. I think, like you said, particularly with Jetpack, I think we've seen just the tip of the iceberg with what they have planned there.
Is that a Titanic reference? Too soon?
Well,
it's over 100 years, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're good.
Okay.
We can joke as much as we want about that tragedy. That's okay.
That's a whole other debate.
Yeah, that's a different sort of thing. Wow, so that was fun. And just looking at the rest, I know we've got really the highlight of the episode in the top 10. But right before we do that, I want to thank the second sponsor for this episode, which is Josh Kolbach and ThirstyAffiliates.com. And it is a plugin, a paid plugin for creating, shortening, and then tracking stats on affiliate links. Really, it'll track and give you feedback on any sort of links that you put through it, but it's really designed for tracking affiliate links, which I think we famously said, referred to this type of plugin last week as, what was it, a potential plugin of mass destruction. So I think I need to find a way to get him to make our customer quote on his site.
We apologize.
Review please from keep, WP Late please, Night.
Please keep sponsoring.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think if you play it just right, that could be a really good marketing technique. But anyway, they are also running a 30% off discount, which you can take advantage of at thirstyaffiliates.com/discount. Put the link and stuff in the show notes. Thanks to Josh and the plugin for supporting WP Late Night.
You know, you really, really need to give me that soundboard, because right when you start, you know, Thirsty Affiliates, where was the, you know, there we are.
Yeah,
Thirsty Affiliates.
Thirsty.
A plugin of mass destruction. Thirsty Affiliates.
An orgy of brats.
Oh, boy. That's, yeah, we don't have a roar. We'll get a roar for
We need a roar. We need, well, we already have the thirsty.
We need a list. So
we need a sound effect for every sponsor. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, we'll have a small produced commercial each week. I like that. That works.
A jingle.
Ooh, I like jingle.
Jingle! Yeah.
We need a beer sponsor. Seriously. I mean.
Yeah, that's a good call. Is that Justin?
Yes, the Sternbergenator.
There's a,
he is awesome.
So we need to explore some new markets, some fresh industries for WP Late Night. We should all be drinking.
Yeah, I'm all about a beer sponsor.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
Sponsoring. I got my WordCamp Boston. Rocking my WordCamp Boston shirt here.
Dre's way to go, Boston!
His Sunday best over here.
Wow! Yeah, there you go.
I think Dre does get the style points this week.
Oh yeah, you're making us look real bad. Thank you.
I also like how you manage, and you know this will be lost on the non-video watchers, but I like how you manage the headphones while retaining the hat. You didn't have to lose one for the other. I like that.
The most interesting man.
I tried to do that before the show, but I kind of came across more like Princess Leia than I did an actual, you know, radio DJ.
And that's what we want you to look like.
Yeah,
it's all about angles, Brad. All about angles.
Object of the show. Thank you.
So, time to get to the reason everybody's here, right? Let me check the time code here so I know where to grab this piece later. Okay, about an hour and a minute. Let me write that down. So, top 10. How do we want to? We divided up the first week in a way that I got the sense that Brad wasn't crazy about, or maybe you did like it because I think you got all of the.
I got the edgy ones.
You got the edgy ones.
I don't care what we do. What do we want to do?
I don't know either, but I'm gonna give us some nice background music while we do, though. Huh? Nice, huh? Well, we should say that this week's top 10 is the top 10 rejected features in WordPress 3.4.
And if the chat room has any, throw them out, and maybe we'll tag them on at the end.
Right. So obviously WordPress 3.4 is coming along soon, and it's probably, what would you say, probably 2-3 weeks away at this point?
They said May, so I got my money on June.
mid-May.
Is this where we take the release date? What would it be? Bet? Pool? Start the pool?
I have money on WordCamp New York weekend, which is June 9th, my birthday. So I'm saying it drops that weekend.
Could be.
That'd be kind of legit. I'll be there the week before for Blog World. It's going to be good.
It's going to be a busy week.
Oh, yeah.
One right after the other?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of wild, man.
Okay. So who wants to start us off here? Top 10 rejected features for WordPress 3.4.
Number 10 on the top 10 rejected features for WordPress 3.4. A live video feed of our smiling faces here at WP Late Night was rejected for 3.4.
How could you reject this face? I mean, honestly.
How could you do that? That's just,
you know,
that's
we've got the
bad
style.
Enough.
We've got Princess Leia. We've got everything you could want in the dashboard.
I mean, I'll take my shirt off if you want me to. You probably don't, but I will.
A little early. It's
early.
Yeah. For WP Late Night, it's early.
I think my favorite quote at any WordCamp was, I can tell how drunk Brad is by how deep his voice is. So my voice isn't deep enough for me to take my shirt off yet.
You can also tell by how crazy his glasses are.
Hey, Drake, give me a Bud Light, Drake. Give me a Bud Light, Drake.
I have...
It's true. You totally do get deeper.
Crazy.
Yeah. I got my party glasses and a Bud Light. I just need a cigarette.
Oh, my. What are we doing?
These have seen better days. These glasses could talk.
I'm
just glad they can't. Anyways, you should probably get back to the list.
Top 10 rejected features. Number 9, Instagram filters on all the media.
I want Instagram PDFs. That's what I want. Instagram or PDF. I want it to look like an old crumpled up piece of paper from the 50s.
Of course, that's the formula for making this project really valuable, right? It's just going to be worth $1 billion overnight.
It'll be valued at $500 million, and I'll give you $1 billion. It's cool.
Hey, we'll create Tim Thumb 2 to make sure that it handles all the filters. It'll be legit.
Oh, I'm loving these terrible reviews on our list so far in the chat room.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only going to get
better. Brad, you got the next one?
I got the next one. So
number eight,
the use of post has been completely removed and replaced by an HTML5 magna doodle. I didn't write that one. I have no idea what a magna doodle is. But,
you don't know what a magna doodle is?
Should I know that?
Oh, fail.
I all of a sudden feel really sad for your childhood. Like you didn't. Somebody get a picture of a Magna Doodle.
Very close. Yes.
It's similar. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit older than you, so I'm used to Etch a Sketch. I didn't have like.
That's what I'm saying. You have so many more years with this thing than I have.
Wow.
Hey, you brought up the age thing. I didn't. Here we go.
Next. All right. Number seven on the rejected list is they're not adding in a new, a shiny new admin theme with animated little bike sheds.
I want to pick the color. Can I pick the color? Is that cool?
Yeah, you can pick the color.
Back on that, I think that'd be a. Somebody needs to get a plug-in together for that Magna Doodle one.
Are we still talking about the Magna Doodle?
I thought we were over that.
I thought we were past that.
Oh, man. Magna Doodle would be awesome.
Number six, the Hello Dolly plugin rejected for 3.4, sorry, and replaced instead by the Hello Dolly Llama plugin.
Oh, the Dolly Llama plugin.
What would the Dolly Llama plugin say?
I'm scared to know.
Refresh would be
Wow.
I don't know. That's meditating. No, maybe not.
I got nothing.
All right. Number five. WordPress was rejected for WordPress 3.4.
I think that might upset people that WordPress didn't make it in.
We have rejected WordPress.
We're releasing 3.4. WordPress is not included.
We've taken out WordPress, so it's just jQuery and some other readme.txt.
That's all. Well, no, plus
the
GPL license file, dude. That's it.
Plus the Instagram filters and the Magna Doodle thing. That's all that's in there.
Gotta have the filters in the Magna Doodle.
Oh, my.
Number four on the rejected features list is distraction full writing.
Ah, so rather than free.
Yeah.
I'm sad to say that was one of mine. It's terrible.
Imagine as you're typing, like a hand swaps in and like, like just covers up your cursor and wherever you go, you can't see what you're doing.
But it just opens a text field on the webking.com webpage where that comes into the back end. You're perfectly set.
Or what's that like fool.js or something that's out there? You could just do all sorts of really crazy. You can put like Mr. T on the site. And
I pity the fool.
It'll like break the site apart and it'll fall down as you're using it. That would
be like a goodie. You know what? WordPress needs some more Easter eggs. There hasn't been a good Easter egg lately.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be all sorts of new drama. So we need to get one in there.
Yes.
Is it on me? I think number three, top 10 rejected features for WordPress 3.4, Drupal. Seriously, just putting Drupal in there. It's kind of similar to our WordPress one. It's kind of the other side of it. If they just took out WordPress and put in Drupal, that would probably not be so good.
From what I hear, they're putting WordPress into Drupal. So it should be pretty interesting.
We're getting a lot of laughs on that one. I'm surprised that there'll be a lot of awkward silence, kind of.
Well, it technically is still awkward silence because we actually can't hear them. Like
they're probably LOL and really just shaking their heads.
I'm so glad you get this one, Brad.
Number two, the number two most rejected feature: stupid pink pony press. And you know what? Ryan's laughing, so I still swear to God this day that Ryan is pink pony press.
Really?
I swear it.
See, here's why that bothers me.
Swear it. There's no reason it should bother you because you are the pink pony, and I'll keep kicking that pony until you admit it.
I'm just glad the joke account you created at least had your face on it, so people knew it was yours.
You know what? I didn't even make that. There's actually joke accounts with my face on it. Why would I make a joke account with my own picture?
It just seemed like your style. Like you didn't want to be secretive about it. You're just like, yeah, this is me.
You gotta love it.
We just got a pity laugh out of the chat room. How do you get a pity laugh in chat?
That's pretty awesome.
They can write off.
It happen.
I would bet money that Ryan Duff is the pink pony and the badger. Just saying.
That's your bet.
I got Duff on one. I got Ryan on the other. One of the two is each one.
No.
I'm with you on that, bro.
Sorry.
You know what? The stupid pink pony just tweeted about it. So he's obviously here. So we can.
Hey, I was talking to you this whole time. When did I tweet?
I'm writing everyone's name down, and I know it's one of you. I'm going to find out who you are.
There's only about 45 people it could be right now.
All right. Yeah. Well, narrow it down.
Should make it a pretty quick process. So let's round this out. The number one on the top 10 for rejected features for WordPress 3.4, they're not going to include a direct feed to what Photoman is currently eating right now and all the time.
Which is sad. You know, it's funny because I see what he's eating and every single thing looks delicious and like something I would eat. But God forbid I post like two food pictures on Facebook. Everyone in my family's like, all you do is eat out. That's all you do is eat out. Like, so I don't even know how he gets away with it with his own friends and family.
See, that's what he should get more credit for, is that because he's posting that stuff all the time, you just know he must be catching ire from so many people. I mean, it's really endurance on his part to stick with that much-hated practice of tweeting all your food.
It's just rude. It makes people hungry.
Yeah, it's the worst, right?
The worst is, like, it's 9 in the morning, you start working, and he's in some, you know, other country where it's dinner, and it's like some filet mignon with, you know, onions on it, and I mean, it just looks amazing. You're like, yeah, that's is that breakfast? Like, no, that's not breakfast. That must be dinner. Like, you're trying to figure out where exactly he's at based on what he's eating. There's no way he's eating a filet mignon for breakfast, right?
He might be. I mean, hey, they did make $45 million at Automatic this year. I'm just saying.
Well, filet mignon for breakfast. You know, you made it.
Yeah, things are good.
So okay. So chat room, you decide for us whether this is something that we only subject you to every 4 or 5 episodes.
Well, I'll tell you what. The my highlight of that whole thing is that Pink Pony press.
Oh, man.
Tweet in all capital letters. I am the most rejected feature in WordPress 3.4. Hey, that's,
you know what? I hate the Pink Pony, but I put you at number one, and these two guys pushed you back to number two. So. I'm your biggest hater, yet I had you at number one.
See, I love everyone in the chat room, but I slightly love more the people who are saying, "What the hell is Pink Pony?" Those are my new favorite people.
Yes.
I don't know, Honey Badger.
Oh my!
Boy.
I thought we got all this out of the way in like episode 2 or something.
I still want to get Honey Badger and Pink Pony in a fight, and we just need like a hissing sound and like a stamping sound.
Man, I've got so many sounds to find.
I need a soundboard. I'll make this real stupid real quick if I have a soundboard.
I know. It'll get uncontrollable at that point.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Hey, Brad, I'm getting one too. Let's go. We'll have dueling soundboards.
You figure out what a honey badger sounds like, and I'll figure out what a pink pony sounds like.
And we'll battle.
And Ryan, you can be Fizzy Pop Brad Press or whatever it is.
See, I'm going to have to limit you guys to your soundboards for the aftertaste just so that – we don't get, because it'll become completely unlistenable and unusable.
Oh, yeah. No, it would.
It'll completely break down.
One sound after another, you'd hear nothing of us talking. No good.
I think we can all agree the top 10 list is a keeper. I mean, I love the top 10 list. I love it.
I love how my take on it is, okay, guys, do you want us to keep doing this to you? And your take on it is home run, like all the way. Couldn't have done any better.
Knockout. The only reason these people are here for the top 10 list.
I think so. They were just waiting for that. Come on. When's this going to...
Hey, tell me another WordPress podcast that has a top 10 list. I don't know.
So they're all Letterman folks. They don't like Leno, right? I mean, it is what it is. The top 10 is what makes it.
Yep.
Now, when we know we've really made it, when we can actually get a video of a WordPress celebrity reading the top 10 list.
Now we're cooking.
So we shouldn't be reading it. We should just be like playing back the video here of them already going through it.
Well, at some point we'll get to that. Mm. We're only on episode 6.
Don't get too crazy, right?
We're young. We're young.
Wow. So we usually do picks here, right? Well, actually, I wanted to, before we get into it, though.
I always throw that on us, and I never know that we're doing one, so I'm scrambling for a plugin.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I kind of don't do the same thing, but I've got mine for the week, and it's going to be shameless. But before we get to that, Ryan.
Yes.
I was excited about a little Skype message I got this week. Now, I know it's nothing crazy what's happened here, but there's been some really, really cool changes on WP Canon, at least from my perspective. I like design tweaks.
Yeah.
And, well, being kind of, you're the guy. And
I'm the guy.
It's pretty awesome. I'd like to learn a little bit about that.
Right. So a couple of thanks, Tony, in the chat. Our writing. Actually, go check the site. There's some good stuff there. Some really crappy podcasts, but you should just skip over those.
We need a zinger sound effect.
Zinger. Add it to the sound list. It's really more of a realignment than a redesign. The bulk of everything is pretty much the same, but the really biggest change is sort of this call it sort of the sort of network bar across the top that does a better job of unifying the different kind of main features of the site. So the blog is, I mean, really most people spend all their time on the blog, but that's really on kind of one aspect of WP Candy. We have the magazine, there's pros, and then obviously the stream, which a lot of people who are in right now have probably seen the kind of redesigned and reworked stream page, which after all, we're 6 episodes in, we're finally starting to get a proper stream, right?
It's
finally
coming
together. Yeah. And really, aside from that, a lot of the reworking has been kind of rethinking navigation and how to make it easier for people to get around the site and stuff like that. So some of that stuff is a little bit boring. And I did see, like I mentioned earlier, some of the criticisms about the responsive layouts. Still working on it. That comes next. But just how awesome and subtle is that little that kind of like white gray texture in the background? It's so awesome. I love it. So that's,
you know, I still don't see our beautiful faces on the homepage, so I'm not sure if I always support this design.
I would call that
update
weak
but
sauce.
You just saying. So you're saying, so all you want something pretty simple, Brad. It's not too demanding. You just want your face in place of the logo. That's
hey,
all
hey,
you want.
Brad, that's hey, Brad, sure, Brad, here you go. Pose. You got to pose.
If I could be the fave icon, I'm cool with that. You got 16 by 16 pixels to get my beautiful face in there. So
there really should be more rotating fab icons, I think. Just on a...
animated, if you will.
Jeez, you get your head in the magazine. You want your head in the logo in the browser bar. You're already in these podcasts. Like, what more can I give you?
Oh, yeah, I'm like messaging behind the scenes. Oh yeah, remind me. I want to be in the second quarterly.
Hey, I'd like to be your new favicon on WP Candy, please.
It's a small request, I think, right? Just a
very
little
small
thing.
I mean, it's a little 16 by 16 guy up there. It's all good.
But actually, in along with all of the updates, and I haven't put up like sort of the realignment post yet because I haven't finished the mobile stuff, and it works best kind of telling everything. Everybody, everything at once. But one of the recommendations that have come up once or twice on the show, I think, is Relevancy, which I finally set up on the site and has improved search drastically. So if you're looking for specific WordPress tidbits on WP Candy, the experience is much, much better now than it looks before. Even though the search bar, I see, it's down and kind of tucked away, which the reason it's still down there is because for a long time the search was really bad. But now the search is actually better, so it can be moved up further because now it's actually usable.
So you're not using WordPress search.
It's a plugin. What are you talking about?
What?
I mean, it's still in WordPress search. It's not like
Right. I'm just saying you're not using the default.
No, I'm not. Yeah, because don't
that was,
do that.
That was a cue for the zinger thing.
Gotta that get that zinger sound right next to the monster sound. But
yes. No, it does look good. It does look good. And if, you mentioned, did you mention the stream page redesign,
page.
Which is...
a big change.
Big change. Completely different.
A lot more attention.
A lot better. I mean, it's
way,
got
way
the
better.
Schedule.
So good.
It's got the live feed. It's got the IRC chat.
It's got.
I really like to have the schedule on there, which is nice.
Yeah, the schedule's there, and it's subscribable both ICS and RSS feeds. I'm also thinking about setting that up to like an automated Twitter thing. I don't necessarily want to pipe it through the main WP Candy Twitter, but I'm thinking sort of a dedicated shows Twitter account that'll just let people know or send out alarm bells or what have you. So yeah, it's all kind of coming together. Feels good.
Looks good. Now, I mean, you can, if you start writing some articles.
Hey, we've got,
Tony said that, not me.
Couple that just went up.
Actually, you do have some great articles that went up today.
Fantastic articles. I still really like the subtle one was last week. So I took a few days to kind of touch up the design stuff, but.
Can we cheers to the Buddy Press team crossing 1 million downloads? That's huge.
That's pretty awesome.
Cheers, guys.
Not only will cheers them, but we'll also pour one out. Oh, I have it.
And can we pour one of yours out? I really don't want to waste mine.
Yeah, no, it's all.
All right.
We're pouring Brad's out, actually. I took Brad's.
I like how they am the only one that cheers for that. I kind of like cheered myself.
That's okay.
Salud, Brad. Cheers. I love my Bradford. Awesome. Local San Diego, Stone Brewery. That's what's up.
Awesome. Got to support the local breweries.
Yes, sir.
Good, good, good stuff. Well, and that takes us, that brief interlude now takes us into the picks, which Dre and I are prepared for, but Brad is not. So he'll go last because he
I'll
needs
go.
Time. Dre, what do you got? It's shameless, but that's what we're all about here. That's what we do.
It's definitely shameless, and it's kind of not fair because it's not going to be in the repository, although we do have a plugin. Sucuri just released a premium plugin to all clients for free. It's a WordPress plugin that has a web application firewall, so it's connected to our network of bad stuff searching, right? So we've got an index of all these crazy known bad websites, and we blacklist them. They can't even touch your website. It's got integration into site check scanning, It has one-click hardening, so a bunch of the cool stuff that I go over in that presentation that I did in the webinar yesterday, it's all included in the plugin. Beyond that, it's got the audit log, so it'll pretty much show you everything and anything that's happening to WordPress, whether that's deleting or adding a post, people trying to log in successfully, unsuccessfully, and even filtering IP addresses for those trying to log into your website when they shouldn't be. So it's kind of awesome. It's part of our main plans, but we released that out to everybody to the wild in the last couple weeks. Yes, that's my plugin.
See, that's not shameless at all. That's something that you've worked on. It's important to you. It's hugely useful for lots of people. I don't think there's anything shameless about that. You should be very shameful about that.
Boo.
Oh. No, that's really cool. I heard somebody mention it, but I haven't played with it myself. I need to, and I also need to watch your, because the video for your webinar thing is up, right?
Yeah, it's up on blog.security.net, and they were gracious enough to also add it up on the iThemes blog. Cool. And iThemes.tv.
Very cool. And Brad, you still need time, correct?
I have one.
You have one?
I have one. I'm frantic over here, but I have one.
All right.
Does it make beer?
I look forward to hearing about it.
So my plugin, which is one I swear by, I've seen it in action, but I didn't actually know the name of it. And it was actually built by one of the designers at WDS, Justin Sternberg.
Okay.
Sternberginator. The plugin is called HTML5 Slideshow Presentations, and it's essentially a plugin that allows you to install it and make slideshows in WordPress that you could give a presentation with. So you can actually do your entire presentation that you give, like in a PowerPoint, you could build it in WordPress. So how cool is it? I've seen a couple presentations like this where they do the whole presentation, awesome, and then at the end they say, hey, by the way, this entire presentation was powered by WordPress.
That's pretty damn awesome.
Right. So HTML5 Slideshow Presentations, Justin Sternberg. It looks pretty awesome, pretty flexible. Check it out.
I like. I have two small ones because they each do something small, but I found them useful both today.
Do it.
And they work perfectly together because they're both Mark Jake with plugins, which are some of my favorite plugins anywhere.
Who's that anyway?
It's some weird guy. He does WordPress stuff sometimes. I don't know.
Aha, gotcha.
He never blogs, so I don't know. no, Mark Jakewith, lead developer WordPress, used all of his plugins to death because they're crazy.
Yeah, he's kind of brilliant and all. Just saying.
Kind of.
Yeah, just a wee
maddeningly.
Bit. Yeah.
The first one has to do with so Jetpack updated this week. And it's funny, we were talking about Gravity Forms earlier because the 1.3 update to Jetpack brings in their Grunion Forms plugin, which was already the plugin that the automatic release to sort of mimic their contact form setup on WordPress.com. Now, I know that the three of us have probably never used that because we kind of all use Gravity Forms, but remind me to get Rocket Genius to sponsor this so it'll make sense that we can always talk about them, get the show some kickback for it. But so Jetpack updated, but I was happy that it didn't auto-activate that particular part of Jetpack because I use Mark Jakewith's manual control for Jetpack, which I can drop a link for into the chat, which is worth seeing just because he has manual control because of the plugin header image is just awesome. If you kind of get the reference, I put that in the one chat. I put it in the video chat too. Boom. It's great because it disables one of the things that I don't like about Jetpack, which is that it auto enables new stuff. We've talked about that on the show before.
Yeah.
I think just last week. So that's a good one that I saw use just in the last 24 hours because it's like, oh, there was an update. Let me go check. Aha, it's not turned on because I didn't tell it to turn on. So that I really like. And the other one is one that I really tried out live for the first time today, and it's called Markdown on Save. And I write a lot in Markdown using Byword. I'm on a Mac, and that's how I write a lot of the stuff that I create. But I've never really tried to integrate the Markdown syntax with WordPress before. So I dropped that in the chat too. Oh, both chats. Got to remember both. And basically what it allows you to do is use the HTML view to actually post in Markdown formatted text, and that it will handle the conversion and actually saves the Markdown text separately in the post content formatted column of the database, or of the table, I guess, so that you can safely deactivate. It's not going to screw up all of your future posts or past posts or whatever. But it's just a really easy way to kind of transition from writing in Markdown all the time to then using WordPress. And I like it. I think I prefer using ByWord to preview the HTML and then copy that into WordPress rather than go, you know, use Markdown necessarily in WordPress. But it works really well, of course, because it's a Jaquith plugin, and I like it, and I used it today.
I'm sorry, was this a two-plugin pick thing?
I told
or like
you that.
A, I thought it was
you.
A one
you
plugin.
Know, so there's this plugin stream.
I'm just clarifying the rules because I thought it was one plugin per, and
but
then all of a sudden
small.
You
they were really
whip out two plugins.
Two tiny plugins. My plugins weren't as hefty
well,
as your
plugin. Well, it's you know, what it's not the size of the plugin. It's really all about what it does.
See, that's what
those are
that's
pretty good plugins, so.
Wow.
Can somebody make that t-shirt? It's not the size of the plugin.
You know, that actually fits in perfectly with, I mean, it's kind of not, we were talking about the theme side of it before, but I think for a future discussion, seriously though, the size of plugins and what they do is a worthwhile discussion.
I'm looking at you, yeah. iThemes. I want a shirt.
Yeah, this is getting a little creepy. I'm just saying.
Private parties.
Wait, oh, yeah. God.
Tickle, 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 tickle. Tickle, 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 tickle.
See, the great thing is we start out horribly, so we're not actually underneath that bar yet. So.
It's true. That's absolutely true.
We're good.
That's why we start out that way.
In any case, those are my plugin picks, and I think that that's pretty much that's a show, right? I mean,
that is a show. I think that's a show.
Oh, that came on really loud. Sorry about that.
Wow.
Ooh, boom.
Man, we are about as graceful as they come.
I'm learning the soundboard, right? This is our first week we've really
I'm excited about the soundboard.
Oh, it's going to be good. I'm jealous. Oh, I want a soundboard by next week. So
we didn't even use it back during the conversation about all the drama today. We have our very own Ari Gold.
Let's hug it out, bitches.
So good.
Bitches.
So good. That, of course, is the
give it up. Give me the soundboard. I'm going to get crazy.
The beautiful sound of Andy Stratton's voice coming through to you, telling you all to hug it out, you bitches.
The Strattonator.
the founder of Tickle Press. Gotta love it.
So good. So,
where that came from.
Dre's Room, Word Camp, Las Vegas, 2011. According to the folks that tweeted that out. Thanks. Salud.
I believe it. I believe it. So, roundup stuff. So we've got show notes are going to be on the site. Obviously, subscribe to us either via RSS or iTunes. If you follow, if you subscribe to the show on iTunes, give us a review because that'll help people. Also, just jump into the show notes on the site itself and leave a comment. That is the hardest thing to do with podcasts is get solid feedback on them because they're a very, what would you call it? I mean, it's a very one-way conversation sometimes. So if you think of it and you get a chance, come let us know what you think about the show and our embarrassing non-humor that we attempt every few weeks.
If you don't like us, just don't. Just go. We don't need you.
I love the... Yeah, yeah. So direct your feedback on the show maybe to me and not to Brad because he doesn't want to
ignore it.
He'll ignore it.
He completely ignore it.
And well, and next week, I guess Wednesday, we'll be here again. Sometime next week, we'll find the right day. And
yep, next week, every week. We'll be here every week.
At WP Candy, at Ryan Immel, at Williams BA, at Dramata.
Yeah, you can shoot you've got them. You've nailed them down. You can shoot an email over to latenightwpcandy.com.
Yes.
Or you have the opportunity to leave a voicemail if you want to give us a call at 815-322-WPLN.
Excellent work, Trey.
Booyah. Not much I'm good for, buddy.
And we will talk to the rest of you next week in the chat room and the stream and Spreecast. Catch you later, guys.
Later.